recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
D. Mace, Fink, and the Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen here with you, David Janes as well. I'd like to start off today's show by wishing Big Joe Dubin the best of luck with his upcoming colonoscopy. Good luck, Joe.
That's very nice of you.
We're pulling for you. Do you guys have any thoughts on colonoscopies?
Well, I've had one.
I have not.
Yeah. I've had.
It's coming.
It's important.
I've had two.
You've had two?
Yes. I had one when I was 45. And then I had another when I was 50. So, you know, I'll probably have another one in another 10 years. I'm trying to stay on top of this, Adam.
Yeah.
Is it a special?
Get two colonoscopies, get the third free?
I wish it was. But well, I don't think insurance companies think that way. Neither do doctors.
They tell you when you have one, okay, this is you need to come back. And
some
need to come back a little earlier than others based on what they see. Because
they may see polyps, you know, things like that. And, you know.
This is what you guys tuned in for, right?
Yeah.
To hear us talking about colonoscopies.
I didn't know if
it was a colonoscopy awareness day, but it is an important thing.
It is.
Yeah.
So. For you men out there.
Yeah.
Good luck, Big Joe.
It's not the most fun experience, but it's very important.
You got to do it. I also do want to give an actual shout out to Salsarita's Fresh Mexican Grill at 2515 West End Avenue, right in the heart of Vandy Country. They are feeding us today here at the station.
Yes.
So make sure you get your dinner for the Vandy game tonight. You can get it delivered. You can get it picked up. That's Salsarita's Fresh Mexican Grill, 2515 West End Avenue. Shout out to Salsarita's for feeding us, and they can feed you as well. It is Super Bowl week, gentlemen. Yesterday was, quote-unquote, Super Bowl opening night, which is a fancy way of saying Super Bowl media day.
That's what they used to call it.
And we are going to talk about something that was said at Super Bowl opening night by DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But you know it's time for Super Bowl week when you hear hard-hitting questions asked of professional athletes like this.
How can I get more handsome? How can I get more handsome? My girlfriend says I'm the most handsome quarterback in the league. Any advice, like something to do with my hair? I'm desperate, anything.
I don't know if I can help you on that one. That sounds like a DNA thing.
That was Jalen Hurts being asked, how can I be more handsome like you? My girlfriend says you're the most handsome quarterback in the league. And his response was, I don't know if I can help you. I think that's a DNA thing.
Hey, he's telling the truth.
But I mean, a lot of strange questions get asked at Super Bowl opening night. One thing I have enjoyed talking to with our very own Jarrett Stillman, who is live at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. He'll be there again starting at 2 o'clock. The guests that people get during Super Bowl week on Radio Row, it's an eclectic mix. And Brian Curtis, who works for The Ringer, has labeled these people by their days. Like, he's a Monday guy. If you're a Monday guy, that means you're at the bottom of the totem pole. Ryan Leaf was on Jared's show yesterday. Ryan Leaf on Jared's show. Ryan Leaf has big Monday guy energy. You want to be?
I actually think Ryan Leaf is a really interesting guy to talk to.
It was
to.
A, it was a good
We've
interview.
Had him on the show.
It was
before.
A good interview.
It's underrated.
But you want to be a Thursday guy. Thursday guy is the top of the heap, according to Brian Curtis, because most people leave on Friday.
Right.
So on Thursday, that's when you get the best guests. So if you are a Thursday guy, that's a good thing. If you're a Monday guy, you got to work your way up.
I know the drill, man. I have done it. I did it a few times. I was there when you guys were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was the first time I did it. And then a couple years after that, even when you guys were not in the Super Bowl, I did Darren McFarlane and I. It is work, let me tell you, because it's a juggling act. You have to fight for position. You've
yes,
done it.
Yes.
It, yeah.
Yes. But what if the Thursday guy could only come on Monday, like because of his schedule?
That's a good question. Yes. I asked Jared, who were the Tuesday guys?
Exactly.
So yesterday, Jared had Ryan Leaf. He had Thomas Dimitroff, the former Falcons GM who interviewed for the Titans job. He had Solomon Wilcots, and he had Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. Today, Jared is having Chris Russo, Chris Mad Dog Russo, who I guess is a Tuesday guy. But I'm always interested in the hierarchy here. You don't want to be a Monday guy. You want to be a Thursday guy. Friday guys, I think, are better than Wednesday guys. But they're not much better. I don't know. There's a science to this.
I don't think there's a science to the day. But I will say this, that if you hustle, you'll get interesting people to talk to. That's the cool part about being on Radio Row. By Friday, everybody's so fried because it is a dogfight. Radio Row, there's so many people there. And I might want to have Adam Vingan on my show, but if there's 12 other stations that would also like to have Adam on their show, and Adam only has 45 minutes total, then it's
what do you do?
Start elbowing your way, and you got people that
it's survival of
Adam
the
has people that know people.
It's a crazy dynamic.
It's survival
just to get five
of
or six minutes, and then you'll ask two questions, and then somebody behind you will start giving you the wrap it up tornado. You know, too many men on the ice.
Make sure you ask him about the laundry detergent. He's here sponsoring.
Right. You get these signals, and they're like, he's got to go. They point to the watch. He's got to go. He's got to get to the.
Oh,
night.
That's the worst when someone points to the watch. Yeah. And
it makes you want to go a little longer.
Yeah
it does. Like, it does.
I'm like, I don't want to listen to you. I'm going to keep him as long as I want.
But, right, but everybody does that. You're saying, well, he's supposed to come over here at 1:30. And then it's like 1:50, and you're like, well, tell him to get over here. Yeah. Give him the sign. Tell him to point to the watch to get him out of here.
Oh, man. But Jared will be live on Radio Row starting at 2 o'clock. Can't wait to see the Tuesday guys that he gets. So I've been looking at mock drafts, as is my wont at this time of year, because the Titans have the number one pick in the draft. And I've seen a lot of mock drafts lately. I read one from The Athletic about a week ago that had the Titans taking Abdul Carter from Penn State with the number one overall pick. And it got me thinking, we asked this to Teron Davenport yesterday. The big news in the NFL yesterday, Myles Garrett requesting a trade from the Cleveland Browns. And we talked with Teron about how that could affect the NFL draft. So the Cleveland Browns could be down a premier pass rusher. This is what I thought was funny. A week ago at the Senior Bowl, Browns GM Andrew Berry was asked. This was the actual question he was asked. If someone sees you at dinner tonight and says, we'll give you two first-round picks for Miles, do you say, I'm not interested? His response, correct. You can put that on the record. That was a week ago. And now Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland. Now, of course, it's up to the Browns to acquiesce to his demands. We'll see if that actually happens. But I'm wondering if the Titans could take advantage of this. They have the number one pick. I believe Cleveland is at 2. So could the Titans take advantage of this Myles Garrett situation? Because if he leaves and the Browns want to replace him with Abdul Carter, what could that trade look like? And I was thinking about trades that have happened in recent NFL draft history where a team moved up one spot. And the first that came to mind was in 2017, the Bears traded up one spot with the 49ers in the first round for Mitch Trubisky. They moved from 3 to 2 in order to acquire Mitch Trubisky in the draft. And the 49ers came away with the number 3 pick, so they moved down one. They came away with a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a third-round pick in the next draft. So They move down one spot. They get a third round pick, a fourth round pick, and another third round pick. So could the Titans take advantage of the Myles Garrett situation by trying to coerce the Browns to move up one to take Abdul Carter to replace Myles Garrett? This was just something I was thinking about last night. I would love for your opinions on it.
I think there's a couple ways you could go with that, too. There's also the whole Deshaun Watson cloud. They need the quarterback, too, the Browns. So could you manipulate that some? There's a lot of things that I think you have to put together. All going back to my thought that I have bought into the philosophy of there is nothing more valuable than the first pick in terms of what value you can get back. You just went through a pretty decent haul just for moving one slot. You wouldn't think maybe off the top of your head you could get that much for just one spot, but they got, what, three extra picks for one spot?
Right. They moved down one, so they went from the 49ers went from 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. They also got a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a third-round pick in the next, in the following year.
So all of this to say, in this discussion, I think we'll probably have 25 to 35 of these proposed trades, or would you do this, would you do that? Maybe more than that. I'm probably selling it short because the draft's not for a few months. But to just pick the first guy and do nothing else, to me, is the worst thing you could do.
To me, if I'm teams, I wouldn't do anything until free agency starts. If I'm Cleveland, really, I'm not doing anything until free agency starts. Why? Because if I'm going to trade Myles Garrett, I want a sort of – I want that type of pass rusher back on my team. And there's only one way I can get that. But I also need a quarterback. So how do I get a quarterback and still put myself in a position to get that rush in that we're going to have to replace? Not to say he's going to be Myles Garrett, but we need that production. So how do I do that? Well, if I'm Cleveland, I'm like, okay, I am waiting to free agency. I need to see what Minnesota, if indeed Darnold is a guy that I can live with for the next 5 years, because obviously he would be an upgrade to the quarterbacks they have on their roster. If Minnesota chooses not to franchise tag Darnold, then I'm like, okay, let me get Darnold, position myself up to number one so I can then get the rush in, because the Titans may move out of that position with another team. So let me move up, get Abdul Carter, and now I've essentially have what we believe is our franchise quarterback for the next 5-6 years, and we get our rush in that we're trying to replace. So if I'm Cleveland now, what would they give up to move up to that number one spot? I'm not sure.
I would take the package if that were offered to me, mm-hmm. the package that the Bears gave to the 49ers to move up one spot from 3 to 2. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it would be moving up from 2 to 1. But if the Browns, because how many times do we see a player demand a trade, request a trade, mm-hmm. and the team that he's on ultimately not trade him?
We've seen it a lot.
That doesn't
more times than not.
That doesn't happen a ton where the team's like, nope, we're not going to trade you, despite the fact that you've been open about the fact that you don't want to play here. I mean, Myles Garrett ultimately will not be playing for the Cleveland Browns, even if their GM said a week ago, you can put on the record that I'm not going to trade him. So if I can move down one spot, mm-hmm. pick up an extra third, a fourth, and a third in next year's draft, and still have my pick of quarterback or whatever I want to do, if that's what I want to do, I'm all for it. I'm just curious if that could be used as a blueprint to move down one spot.
If I'm moving up from 1 to 2, then I'm asking for a little bit more than what that trade.
That's
got.
Fair.
Because we're in a different year, you know, in a different position. You know, so that's what I would be asking for. That's why I said, if I'm Cleveland, I'm not looking to do anything right now. And I'm not even indicating whether I'm going to trade Myles Garrett or not. I need to see, if I don't believe one of these quarterbacks is a quarterback and be my guy, then I'm waiting to free agency starts. And if Sam Darnold is not franchise tag, then if you feel he can be your guy for X amount of years, then you go after him. And then now you're more in a position to trade Myles Garrett to,
the Titans. Am I hearing you come around on Darnold? You know, that's $40 million a year.
But
I thought
no.
We were in agreement.
No, I think he's going to get less.
Darnold is not on my list.
He's going to get less
than
30.
I have seen some reports that a conservative estimate is around 30, closer to $30 million per season.
But I'm saying, Cleveland, because Cleveland, if they move away from Myles Garrett, they would have to replace that production as well as get a quarterback.
Yeah, so you're saying you want Cleveland to go after
him. Yeah, Cleveland go after Darnold.
Do they have that kind of budget, knowing what they have to pay for Deshaun Watson? Like, that is
I don't know
anvil.
The ins and outs of the Browns.
Hey, if you're getting out of Myles Garrett's
deal. We read it the other day. It's
if you get out of Myles Garrett's deal, then that's money you have back in your
that's
space.
A lot of money to sink in on the quarterback position.
I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to get $40 million. I don't think he's going to get $40 million. I think he's going to be mid-30s, mid to high 30s, but I don't think he's going to get 40 a year. But that's just me. But
you're not saying for the Titans. You're still not a Darnold Titans.
No. Because I think the Titans are in a different position than I believe the Cleveland Browns are in. But to answer your question, Adam, yes, I would, but it would have to be a little bit more.
I couldn't find an example of someone moving from 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. I was looking at first overall pick trades, but most of them involve a significant jump from like 1 to 9 or 1 to 12. I couldn't find one that was 1 to 2. And then I was looking at trades where the teams only swapped one spot. And the one that I found that was most recent was the trade I'm referencing from 2017 when the Bears moved from 3 to 2 to draft Mitch Trubisky.
How many slots did the Rams move up when they traded with the Titans in 2016?
That I'll have to look up.
Was they fifth?
Because you have to look at the Giants at number 3 just because of their need of a quarterback. And then, of course, you've got the Raiders at 6.
The Rams were picking at 15.
Oh, wow.
15, okay.
And moved up to 1.
They moved up. Oof.
Did they not have another pick in there? That's it. So
they moved,
because the Titans ended up wheeling and dealing. And what was Conklin, the 8th pick that year? Something in there? So somehow the Titans ended up getting back into a position. There was a lot of wheeling and dealing day.
They went from 15th to 1st with no, in-betweens?
As I understand it, there were more picks involved.
There was a lot of picks involved.
Man, there were tons of picks.
That's what I'm saying.
Involved.
That's a big jump. You really believed in Jared Goff, if that's the case. Well, I guess they did go to a Super Bowl with him, so hey.
But I can't imagine. I just wonder what the cost is to move one spot. Yeah.
Would it be
Titans did it one time years ago. Not at the very top of the draft, but in the first round, they traded one spot. And I believe the players involved, I got to go back and look at this, were Jeremy Shockey and I think Albert Haynesworth, if I've got that right. The Giants and Titans flopped one spot, I think. Mm. I think the Titans moved down. Or maybe it was the Titans moving up. I got to remember. But that was one that I remember. I was like, one spot? Are you sure you couldn't have got the guy or like one of that was an interesting one, lower in the first round.
I have to remember. So in 2016, the Titans picked 8th. That was their first pick, and they took Jack Conklin.
But there was another trade
where they took the
15th pick. After they made the trade with the Rams, they made another trade to get to 8. And I don't remember all the pieces together. If you can, congratulations, because that was there was a lot involved in that.
But I've seen a lot of, we've talked about draft comps. I've seen a lot of Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons. And a lot of teams would love to have Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. The Titans would love to have Micah Parsons. But I'm wondering, with the Browns situation, it's inevitable. It feels inevitable that they are going to trade Myles Garrett. They do not want a disgruntled Myles Garrett on their roster. That trade should happen. If they're looking to replace him, Abdul Carter is the best bet in the draft. So I'm wondering if the Browns could be convinced to move up one spot and the Titans can start recouping picks by doing that.
We know one thing about the Browns is they have done some wacky things for the past. The other thing that we know is there have been many disgruntled players who have asked for trades. It a lot of times does not yield the return that right. you should get for a player of that magnitude, right? You can go down the list, Randy Moss and Terrell Owens and Antonio Brown. Remember yeah. that one? Good grief. There's just been a bunch of them, and they're in a tough spot because I think part of them is Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago. Remember, there was like they made the deal. They were like, yes, we'll trade you to the Jets. And the Jets were like, okay, well, we don't want to give you anything. You know that you're trading him to us. He's the only team. We're the only team that yeah. he says he's going to play for, so why don't you just give him to us? No, we got to get something back.
Well, that's
and they haggled for months, right?
It's been a lot of the conjecture.
And finally end up trading him.
And that was even knowing who he was going to.
Right.
We that's, don't know who wants Myles Garrett right now.
That's been a lot of the conjecture with the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade. They kept it so secretive that only the Lakers were involved in the bidding. If the Mavericks had opened up the bidding to more teams, they probably could have ended up with more than they got for Luka Doncic, but that's a different sport entirely. Mm-hmm. But I would love your thoughts on this, 615-737-1025. The idea of the Titans moving down one spot if the Browns lose Myles Garrett so that they can replace him with Abdul Carter, or would you like the Titans to take Abdul Carter at number one? Your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. I was just doing a little armchair GMing in my spare time last night. I tend to do that a lot. Again, our number is 615-737-1025. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in the next segment. This week, Stillman & Company is broadcasting live and providing live updates from New Orleans on Radio Row leading up to the big game. You know which big game I'm talking about. Coverage presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, Hiller Plumbing, Heating and Electrical, and Family Leisure. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is only good for the Tanger Outlets location in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan joined on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com by ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, let's start with the Super Bowl, which is coming up in 5 days. As you prepare for this game, what is an angle about this game that you feel is being under-discussed in the lead-up to the Super Bowl?
Oh, you know, it's tough because in terms of, like, you know, I don't know what everybody else is focused on. You know, I guess I kind of, you know, see, I don't know. I mean, I think I have a sense, like, there's this, you know, so much talk about Patrick Mahomes and his, you know, impact on the game and kind of legacy and all of that. I feel like that is dominating the storylines. You know, and I think it's probably fair to say if you were to look over to the other side, like Jalen Hurts, pretty early on in his career, has accomplished quite a bit. So, like, what happens if Jalen Hurts wins his second Super Bowl? You know, what if that's the story? What if you know, Nick Sirianni accomplishes things that people don't think that I mean, listen, I think there were talk about Nick Sirianni maybe not being back at one point in the year, but he's had a lot of success in Philadelphia quickly. So yeah, I mean, I think the other side of things, just meaning the Philadelphia Eagles, is probably, at least in kind of what I've seen, been under-talked about.
Some big news in the NFL yesterday. Myles Garrett saying that he wants out of Cleveland. Players of his caliber rarely become available. In terms of sacks by players through their first 8 seasons, only Reggie White, DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Watt, and Jared Allen are ahead of Myles Garrett, who has 102.5 sacks in his first 8 seasons. I'm curious for your opinion on the market for Myles Garrett, because there are going to be a lot of teams that are interested in his services. I've seen comparisons to the Khalil Mack trade from several years ago from Oakland to Chicago as a trade that could work as a blueprint of sorts. How do you think this goes with Myles Garrett? What do you think the price is going to be for him on the trade market?
Yeah, I think it'll reset the defensive end edge rusher market over, you know, because of his age and, you know, how long he's been in the league, like over a, call it a 3-year span, right? Like, I think he'll make more money over a 3-year span, or maybe a 2-year span, than any other defensive end has in the National Football League. Because, you know, it doesn't, like, you don't need all 32 teams interested in you to reset the market. You just, I mean, honestly, you need two. I mean, you just look at what happened to Deshaun Watson when he was available, obviously different position and stuff, but like, he really had two suitors, you know. I mean, it was, you know, maybe you could argue three, but it was basically, you know, Atlanta, Carolina, and Cleveland. And I want to say that he got over $100 million more guaranteed than any other quarterback had ever gotten in the National League. Like, he was good at the time, but he was away from football. There was all kinds of other issues. And so now take a guy who really has been everything that you would want. You know, he's been a leader. He's been a dominant player. He's been healthy. He's he's, you know, been quiet and been a good teammate on bad football teams. And so, yeah, I think it resets the market. And I think that there'll probably be more than 10 teams that at least are reaching out to figure out what it actually would take.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, do you think that them Cleveland waiting, do you think some of it could be or potentially can be? Because Cleveland, not only if indeed they choose to move off from Myles Garrett and give him what he's asking for, now they've created two problems. They don't have a rush in now, at least not to the caliber of Myles Garrett, and they don't have a quarterback. So if you're Cleveland, if you're going to do anything, should you wait to see what Minnesota does with Darnold, if indeed you believe Darnold could be that guy? Because if they tag him, maybe y'all can work out a deal. But if they don't tag him, now you can position yourself to work out a deal with someone else, sign Darnold, and sort of move in that direction. The contract with Watson may not allow you to do that. I understand.
Right. Yeah, I think there's part. I mean, obviously, you need to be in communication about, like, hey, what is your plan? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think that you're going to do? Look, if you're Darnold, I don't think that, you know, Darnold's not going to sign a tag right away, I wouldn't think, right? So I think the challenge with you know, assuming Darnold, or, you know, obviously a high possibility that Darnold gets tagged. Look, I think that my guess would be what they do is they still take their time. Doesn't sign the tag right away. And so I just think as far as a timeline of, like, hey, what you need to do if you're the Cleveland Browns to get things going, like, I think you can be in communication with the parties that are involved. At the same time, I think you need to, you know, probably still go along the timeline that you can afford to go on. And if it's like, look, we can go get the world for Myles Garrett, then I think you need to go get the world for Myles Garrett and then start to figure out how you can, you know, move other things accordingly to make sure that you have, you know, I mean, look, if you look, you're going to be starting new at quarterback. You're going to be, as you said, D-Mace, like, you're not going to have the edge rusher. And so, look, you're rebuilding, like, however you want to say it, like, you're rebuilding. So if you're going to get a bunch of picks, you're either going to move them for more picks, or you're basically going to wholesale change and try to rebuild your entire roster and try to be good in 2 years, and that's really hard to do.
Tim, what will or what possibly can this do to Jalen Hurts' career, or for Jalen Hurts' career, if indeed the Eagles win a Super Bowl? Because the way we look at sort of the quarterbacks nowadays, we have, you know, obviously the top 4 or 5 guys, and then there's that other group of guys. And Jalen Hurts sometimes fit in that other group, sometimes he doesn't. But if you look at all these quarterbacks, he's the only quarterback outside of Patrick Mahomes that have been to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. Right. So why isn't it? Is it because of the road he travels and the people that he have on his team? And when I say road he travels, he doesn't have to play a Patrick Mahomes, a Jackson, any one of these, Josh Allen on his way to the Super Bowl. He doesn't get those quarterbacks. But yet and still, he's been able to do what quarterbacks are supposed to do. Win games or not be the reason why you lose a game.
Yeah, look, D-Mace, I think it's really fair. Now, I think there are other quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Jared Goff, right, yep. like who been to a Super Bowl, right, just like Jalen Hurts, but and then had a lot of success with another team, which is also, like, really hard to do. Do I think that, you know, he gets talked about the way that some of the really good quarterbacks get talked about? No, I don't. And so, look, Matthew Stafford, for that matter. Like, Matthew Stafford, who's won one and been to, you know, Super Bowls with different teams. And, like, so just to, like, looking at it, you know, or NFC championships with other teams. Like, looking at it in that regard, like, look, I think there are always going to be players who have a lot of success. Mm-hmm. Like Russell Wilson, you know, was probably in the same boat. So, you know, they weren't the first round draft pick. They don't play the game in a way that makes you, like, get up off the couch and go, oh my God, I can't believe he just made that throw in that moment. But because of the team they're on, because of how they play the game, and because they're really good, mm-hmm. like, yeah, they're in, like, that next tier for whatever reason in the conversation. But Jalen Hurts, I mean, look, does he have a great run game? Yeah. Is his defense really good? Yeah. But has he had a ton of success with the Philadelphia Eagles under a ton of scrutiny? Has he done everything that's been asked of him? Is it his fault that Josh Allen is not in his division or conference? Like, you know, not, like, no, it's not. But, look, I mean, he's going to accomplish more at this stage of his career, you know, outside of a league MVP than Lamar Jackson has. But like, we don't talk about him the same way. Like, do I think that's fair? No, I don't.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us talking football here on Super Bowl week. Tim, you just sparked my idea light bulb. I want to follow back up on what you just brought up there when we look at the context of the Chiefs' success. But I've got one on the Eagles. A couple years ago, as we know, it was a great Super Bowl. Went right down to the last play, basically, Chiefs-Eagles. I'm curious your thoughts on the Eagles' offense under the new, I think it's Kellen Moore that's yep. running the offense. What do you think he's done, and how do you think it affects the matchup? Are the Eagles still going to be able to do their thing? Of course, now we know they have Saquon Barkley. They've got a much more fierce threat back there. But what do you think of that matchup, Spagnuolo versus Moore?
Yeah, well, so one, I think it's probably fair to say that he's the best defensive coordinator that's ever been in the National Football League. Like, I think it's fair to say that with what he's accomplished, you know, in the stops that he's been and the success that he's had. So, look, Kellen Moore is facing an all-time great. I think the best thing that Kellen Moore has done is he's always been really good in the passing game and creative and found ways to get guys open. I think Kellen Moore has shown a tremendous amount of patience and willingness to do things outside of, you know, what he would go and coach if he went to a clinic. And I say that because I think he's majored in the run game, and he's majored in aspects of the run game that really he was not doing in Dallas when he was leading offenses that were the best in the National Football League. So I say that to say, look, I think still the best thing he can do in this game is be super patient and be comfortable continuing to call runs. You know, at the same token, you know, if you're going to beat Patrick Mahomes, like, you are going to have to score. And so just finding the times to throw the ball to, because you may need to throw to score at times. So I think that's where it's a little bit different, you know, where I love his creativity. I love his ability to find opportunities to get guys wide open. But I would also say this, like, Philadelphia is different than every other team in the National Football League in that they can run outside zone and it might be a 67-yard touchdown. You know, for most teams, those are 12-yard gains. But because Saquon Barkley is so remarkable And because they have enough creativity in their run game with quarterback runs and in different aspects of their run game that Kellen Moore's adapted to, like Philadelphia is as likely to have a, you know, a 40 plus yard touchdown throwing the ball as they are, you know, running the ball, or more likely probably running the ball than throwing it. So that's unique to any other team in the NFL.
All right, now here's a history question that you made me think of. I was thinking about the Brady era, and one thing that has to be impressive, and I'm not sure it really gets talked about a lot when you're talking about how many rings does a guy have, but like, for example, Brady had to get past the Peyton Manning Colts a bunch of times. That was another really good team that was there every year. You mentioned Josh Allen. I think you implied that the Eagles' path to the Super Bowl may not have been as fraught with hurdles as in the AFC, where you've got Burrow, you've got Lamar Jackson, and you've got Josh Allen. That almost makes it, as I think about that, even more impressive what the Chiefs have done. Because you had the tail end of Brady and the Patriots in there too in the early years.
Oh, no question about it. Like to think of that path and the quarterbacks that you face, because it's not just this year. It's been like we're going to talk, if you're going to do it 3 years in a row, you're also talking about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, like guys in their prime. You know, you're not facing, you know, those quarterbacks, but, oh, hey, so-and-so is on the tail end. So, yeah, I think that's why, you know, it's probably why I said what I said about Spags. You know, it seems like Nolan, like what he's done as a defensive coordinator during that stretch. I'm sure you haven't clipped the sound of it, you know, but before Andy Reid ever won a single thing in Kansas City, and I had, you know, played for Joe Gibbs, and I had played for Tom Coughlin, and I had, you know, Rich Spurrier and Brian Billick and John Fox, a lot of good coaches. To me, Andy Reid's the best. Like, Andy Reid is so good. He's done it with different quarterbacks. He's done it with different, with different organizations. He is remarkable. He is absolutely remarkable. And so I think he's just like the combination, you know, as people used to debate, is it Brady or Belichick? But the combination of Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Patrick Mahomes, is incredible. And so to do it against, you know, the guys that they have to do it against, look, I know people kind of, you know, at least it feels to me, you ask me like what people are talking about, it feels to me that people are sick of the Chiefs. But I mean, I kind of appreciate it just because I know how hard it is. I was on bad teams. I saw good teams fail. But what they've done is incredible, and it's because the leadership there is incredible.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Tim, great stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy the big game this weekend.
Thanks, guys. You do the same. See ya.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dunkin' fans, come experience the new age of Dunkin' at the grand opening of their newly remodeled Brentwood location at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane this Friday. Dunkin' will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line starting at 8 a.m. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road will be broadcasting live from 6 to 9, and we'll have Predators tickets to give away. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal. Get some autographs and pictures, too, while you're at it. Preds player guests this week are Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock for Smashville Live. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I asked Tim Hasselbeck about the aspect of the Super Bowl that's being under-discussed, and he mentioned just, quite frankly, the Philadelphia Eagles as a whole, because much of the attention is on, and understandably so, much of the attention is on the Kansas City Chiefs' quest to become the first team in NFL history to win three consecutive Super Bowl championships.
Yes.
He brought up Jalen Hurts, and I saw this the other day. Jalen Hurts is one of eight quarterbacks with multiple Super Bowl starts in his first five seasons. Here are the eight quarterbacks, the seven other than Jalen Hurts. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, Troy Aikman, and John Elway. Those are the eight quarterbacks in history with multiple Super Bowl starts in their first five seasons. And I've heard Jared talk about Jalen Hurts and that Jalen Hurts perhaps isn't as good as people think he is because he's surrounded by a great supporting cast at wide receiver, at offensive line, at offensive coordinator with Kellen Moore. But I do think that Jalen Hurts is underappreciated for the things that he has accomplished so far in his career. And part of me, as cool as it would be, I think, to witness history, now I'm not going to get on my pulpit like Nate Burleson did after the AFC title game and say, be thankful you're alive to potentially see this. The Chiefs potentially three-peating. But part of me is rooting for the Eagles because I want to see what that – I want to see what happens if the Eagles are the team that finally beats the Chiefs when it counts, what that will mean to the careers of players on the Eagles, specifically Jalen Hurts.
Well, we know how that's going to go, right? Mm-hmm. You're always going to be the man. Even if you win it just once. I think of Terry Crisp all the time. Every time we go to Philadelphia, the Broad Street Bullies will – they are forever legends. They won two in a row, and it doesn't matter how many years go by. That is the group. And so you win it one time, you are in.
You're a made man.
Let me ask you about the Hurts thing.
Female.
With Jared's theory, to me, this is the beauty, though. When you do find the quarterback that's not the high first-round pick, and you can invest heavily in the players around him, that's the formula that has worked. And I think can work for other teams. Mm-hmm. And now Jalen Hurts is getting paid handsomely. And what does Hurts make compared to Mahomes or Tua and some of the Jordan Love and the ones that really cashed in last year? I feel like he's a tier below them, right? So you could argue he's at the right slot, but they have enough resources to still have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Jalen Hurts' average salary is $51 million, which puts him ninth in the NFL behind Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson.
So do you think that's a fair return on investment, what you get from Jalen Hurts
for
$51 million? I would agree.
Absolutely.
I don't know how Patrick Mahomes is only making $45 million a year, but it's the precedent,
it's
right?
It's a long term. He's making – overall, he's going to make the most money. In one contract to any of those.
Yes,
guys.
He is making $450 million.
Exactly. So they just spread it out so they can have cap relief. I think they did that not to the extent, but I think Tom Brady was doing the same thing with New England. Looking at Jalen Hurts, listen, I understand, you know, because he doesn't hit you with these wild plays. He wasn't the first pick in the draft. He wasn't even a first rounder. So typically when you're not in sort of those, if you don't check those three boxes, people tend to look at your success a little bit different. They look at your success as, oh, well, it's because this person's there now, or you have this, or this is because of that guy. They never just look at, very seldom do they look at the guy's ability to play the game. And sometimes they go totally away from that because he doesn't have some of the attributes as these other guys have. But what he's been able to do, even before he got A.J. Brown, he still was a 3,000-yard passer. Okay, when he got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, the numbers start to increase. 37, 38. This year he went back down to just under 3,000. But his numbers as far as touchdowns went up. So they just helped. He was already a good quarterback, I believe. A great leader. You go ask the guys at Alabama, they'll tell you. A great leader. What you do with those guys, maybe he can't win you 13 games or 7 games by himself, just put the whole team on. Maybe he can only win you one or two. But with with the addition of those other good players, now he makes you more of a complete team, while all the while still being able to win you 3 or 4 games. And those other guys just do their job. But when they're not doing their job, when AJ's not doing his job in one of those games, that's when Hurts steps up. He's not going to win you 7 games like a Burrow or Mahomes or Allen or Jackson, but he's going to win you 3 or 4.
Yeah, and you hope your supporting cast is picking up the slack. I'm looking at SpotRac, too. So the Eagles have been smart, too, on how to pay their stars. Because according to SpotRac, Hurts' percentage against the cap, or the money against the cap, is only $21.8 million for this year. It really starts escalating in future years. It's up to $31 million next year, $41 million, $47 million in the next few years. So he gets more expensive the older he gets, but they've done a good job. And even Saquon Barkley is only 6.5 against the cap this year. It goes up 9.8 next year, and then up to 19.3 the following year. So the Eagles, I feel like, have done a good job of aligning their star players, where they're getting a really good, not only just, you know, action on the field, but it's costing them the right amount of money.
Exactly.
It's keeping their resources tight.
We will get more into the Super Bowl as the week progresses, Chiefs and Eagles this weekend. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Super Bowl, at Super Bowl opening night, media day, whatever it's called, DeAndre Hopkins had something to say about the end of his Titans tenure. We will discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.